That's not true. Trees don't do that. Plants don't do that. You go through seasons, just like in weather. I mean, I like how somebody actually took four different pictures of a tree at different times of the year. And the tree goes through different seasons. There are sometimes when it's full, like you'll see in this one, it's just full and green. There's sometimes when the leaves are changing. There's sometimes when there are no leaves. But it's not that one season is bad, another season's good. It has to go through all the seasons. And those seasons actually help it to produce fruit and to grow. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we'll do a little bit of review. We're not going to review too much. I only preached for about 30 minutes last week, so you can listen. God bless you. You can listen to it on the internet. And I'll give you some of the background again tonight, but basically we're going to get into some. We're not going to finish it, I don't think, these seasons. I'll finish it next Sunday night. But I just want to talk to you about the seasons of the Christian's life and get started tonight with some of the most important seasons that produce fruit. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season. You need to underline that and just sit and ponder that for a minute. There is a season when you're supposed to drive. Not when you're 9 years old. There's a season when you're supposed to date and court somebody. There's a season for that. There's a season for when you should be finished with school, not when you're 16. There's a season to everything under the sun, and you're supposed to be doing something and not something else. There's times and seasons for everything in your life. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Seasons and cycles and patterns in life many times are very confusing. We wonder why we're not like so-and-so and why I'm having trouble and they don't seem to be having trouble. Believe me, you're just going through a season. They're going through a season. They're up, you're down. Give it a few weeks. You'll be up, they'll be down. You understand how it works? And it's very confusing because we don't like cycles. As a matter of fact, I think we've ignored cycles in our modern world. We have such stress because we don't take a day of rest. We work all week long, and then Saturday comes, and boom, we're out mowing the grass and fixing the house up, and then Sunday we don't want to come to church because we think, I need a day of rest. Let me tell you, you better balance that thing so that you have the Lord's Day and a day of rest. See, our schedule says, I've got to go shopping all day on Saturday. No, you don't. That's stupid. You may need to do some shopping, but you need a time of rest. And if you take it out on Sunday, guess what? Spiritually, you'll die. Now, you ought to have a slower day on Sunday. I believe it ought to be a wonderful day for you, a day of family day and things. But most people have no day of rest in the week. They have no time where they have a season of prayer. A little blurb out of their mouth may come from time to time. They have no regular sleeping patterns. They just basically ignore the need to have seasons. You know, there's a time when you should eat and there's a time when you shouldn't. When's the worst time to have a big meal? In the nighttime. That's just wrong. Years ago, our parents and our grandparents knew you had a big meal in the middle of the day because you got back and you worked it off. But now our meals are big at night, and we're wondering why we can't sleep, why we can't think, and we don't have seasons. Now, God made seasons. Look at Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. We'll start on the back row there, very back there. Barry, Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. And this is very powerful. Because the Pharisees were attacking, God bless you, were attacking Jesus about the Sabbath. And listen to Jesus' words about the Sabbath in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, real loud, please, Brother Barry.
He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
So the Sabbath was made for my benefit. I wasn't made for the benefit of a day. The day was made to benefit me, okay? So cycles, seasons, work for us. And it's how God designed us. God expects us to know about them, understand them, and work with them. So when we realize that sometimes there's seasons in our life, it actually helps us to know, wow, okay, I'm at a certain stage, and it's preparing me for fruit. It's preparing me for success as a Christian, not maybe success in the business world, but definitely success as a Christian. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and let's talk about the seasons. Father, I pray, Lord, right now, that as you guide us through these scriptures, that we would take it seriously, that everybody's in a different cycle and a different season. But we're all being prepared for another season, for a time, and especially for a time of fruitfulness. Because you told us, herein is our Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. So our seasons aren't the big issue. They need to be gone through and experienced and learned from. But we want to bear fruit. And God, I pray that we would want that. And that, Lord, we would look forward to each season changing. Kind of like I look forward. We're coming into winter. I look forward to Christmas. But as we come into Christmas, and I look forward to spring. And then as I come into spring, I look forward to summer. I'm glad that I have something to look forward to. And I pray that you put hope back into the hearts of people. And not that, and so that we're not just thinking we're stuck. Lord, I pray you teach us that there is another season coming. And that, Lord, it's only going to get better when we follow Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of learning your word. And we're meeting tonight. Bless our meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I said last week, and I'm just going to review it, seasons are normal. God said in Genesis 1, he created the sun and the stars and the moon for seasons, to tell you when it was time to plant, to tell you when it was time to harvest, to give us seasons. They're normal. There's nothing to be ashamed about by changing. You're supposed to change. I know it's hard to accept, but one of these days I'll have to accept going bald. All right? Now, I pray not to. My wife prays I don't. But me, it's a season I may have to go into. And it's not something to be ashamed of. As a matter of fact, bald people tell us that we're just jealous. That's all it is, because they just glow, don't they? Amen. No. It is normal to go through changes. And so there's nothing to be ashamed of. Seasons are all about changes. That's what when you go through a season, things change. And they usually are good. But this is the best part about seasons. They're not forever. Okay? You're going through a season. And you're going through a valley. And that valley is not a never-ending trek. There is an end. There is a coming out of that thing. And Joshua 24 is a great verse where it says, you've been around and through the season of the wilderness. And now you come into the promised land. Don't go back to the wilderness. That season is over. Get in the fight and finish the fight here, is what he was telling them. Get the promised land conquered. Some seasons never come. What is it that we talked about last week? What season may never come? No, unfortunately, I know what you're saying, but this season was when Paul was in front of Felix. And Felix said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. And he never did. You know, if you're waiting for a convenient season to get saved, it will never come. Now is the accepted time. If you're waiting for a convenient season to read your Bible, it will never come. You have to make time. Amen? Some seasons never come. And I talked about four things that should never be affected when seasons are up or down, like making right judgment. You just make right decisions, whether it's popular or whether it's not. I mean, there's something today that's... there's a lack of character so that people cannot make decisions. Because they're waiting. Which way is the wind blowing? What are my friends wanting to do? What is the X Factor promoting this week? We don't make decisions because we're letting the world make them for us. Let me tell you need, whether it's popular or not, when it's hard or when it's easy, you need to make right decisions. You need to have right preaching. Whether it's, for the last 6 weeks, pastor's just been rough. Well, believe me, I have not wanted to be. But if I am any kind of a preacher, I'll pick up this book and I'll say, preach the word, Ledbetter. That's what the book says, whether it's in season or out of season. The next week's going to be a real lovely, sweet, wonderful message. Because it was the second message I prepared yesterday. And I'm already ready for it. But the point is, whether it's popular or unpopular, a message when you're at the door and somebody's angry, you still got to give them the gospel. Preach in season, out of season. You tell the gospel. You tell what the Bible says. You warn them of wrath to come. in season, out of season. Soul winning. You go when it's easy and you go when it's not. I mean, I think I'm glad to be in Ireland, Brother Dan. This is one of the best places to go soul winning. It really is. I'd rather be here than Afghanistan. You imagine knocking on the door. I mean, honestly, this season is a whole lot easier than trying to do an in-season, out-of-season in most of the rest of the world, okay? So don't complain about, well, the weather. Right living. You're supposed to live right whether anybody else is doing it or not. But those are seasons. Four times when you don't pay attention to the weather. Now, I said last week about the preview, and let me go through. There's cycles that we go through, and it begins as a baby. And we'll talk about this more in a minute. You enter into the cycle by the new birth, not by just being in a church. A lot of people are on the outside, and they're watching Christians go through cycles, and they're like saying, I don't seem to go through that, because you've never entered by the new birth. You came in through a door, but you need to enter into the Christian life as a baby Christian. And then there is this cycle that goes through our lives, and what's unique is, it repeats itself. It's not, oh, I'm on stage 6, one more and I'm out of here. No, I wish. Okay, I wish. No, the cycles, just like seasons, repeat themselves. We start off with growing. As soon as you get born, what is it that every kid does? I mean, I remember we took Shadi and Mariana to the, I took them to the airport on Wednesday, wasn't it? And a little, they have Jonas, and now they have Andrew. And Nita and I were there just like 2 days after the birth of Andrew. And Andrew's this tiny little baby. I mean, just you fit him in a half of a bread box, you know? Just tiny. And there she is. She's carrying this baby. And he's grown 3 inches, I guarantee you, just in 2.5 weeks. All right? That's normal. There is a season of growth. And you need to look at your life and ask, am I growing? Or am I still at the same level that I was when I started coming to church? That is a good season of growing. Then it moves on to the season of waiting. Season of waiting. We'll talk about that tonight. After you've grown and you're excited, you know, there's just something that happens when you hit 16 and you're saying, oh, I'm looking forward to when I'm 18. And it takes an eternity to go from 16 to 18, doesn't it? Do you remember when you were 16? And then it took forever to get to 18, didn't it? And now that you're 18, can't wait to be 20. And you're like, you're constantly waiting, aren't you? Like, you're waiting to get to the next level and you find out it's no fun. The next level will be great. But then there comes a season of fruitfulness where fruit just starts appearing. And you go, wow, it does happen. After a season of fruitfulness, there's a harvest. Now, they're different. I'll talk about that tonight. We'll probably get down to the harvest tonight. Then there's a season of pruning. Okay? Because as soon as you've got some fruit that God is producing in your life, there's also going to be some things that are going to be trying to kill off that fruit. And God has to start pulling things away. Aren't you glad that He waits for the right time? I mean, He doesn't just pounce on your life the moment you got saved. Now, get rid of this and take care of that. Let's get rid of this. You're wicked. God lets you grow. And then He says, now we need to talk about that. Oh. Now you're able to actually understand why he's got to go. Amen? Season of pruning. Then a time of defeat. Oh, I can't wait for next Sunday night. Because this is probably one of the most important. This one and the next one. I'm all for learning about fruitfulness. But the ninth season of the Christian is the most important time to prepare for and to learn from. After a time of defeat and loss comes a season of rest. You don't ever have a season of rest when you're fruitful. As a matter of fact, when you're fruitful, Brother Dan, you're busier than you've ever been before in your life. There is no rest when there is fruit in your life. Now, there's great fun and you have great strength, but there's no rest because you're serving and you're helping and you're doing. But there comes a time after, only after, you have been stripped down back like winter to nothing. And you just sit there and you're going, what? What happened? I used to be fruitful. I've said it. I've gotten up here and I said, there are times when I just feel like crawling under a rock after I've preached. And I say, what's wrong? And you're in a season. Even pastors go through a season where you say, I'm just waiting on God. Just waiting there. It's a season of quietness. Then there's a season where you start back at growth again. You see, you never start back over and become a baby Christian, all right? That's done and dusted, all right? But you go through growing and then waiting and then fruitfulness, harvest, pruning, defeat, rest, and then all of a sudden there's a growth spurt again. And that winter is past, and the leaves begin to grow. No fruit yet, but it's coming. You understand what I'm saying? All of the things in nature are there to teach us about ourselves. So let's talk about a few of these. By the way, we do escape the cycle. All right? One day when we arrive home to heaven, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's going to be a great day where we're out of the cycle and we've been perfected. And I learned this thing 2 weeks ago that actually blew me away. Why does the Lord allow his bride to go through such trials? And I thought of this, and I pondered this, and I read something that was really brilliant, so that we can relate to Jesus Christ. So that one of these days, you know, it's nice when a husband and wife can sit across the table. They don't have to say any words, but they just know what they're feeling, and they've been through things together, and they just smile, and they relate. It's not like, oh, what do you think? No, it's like, Just hold hands, and you've just been through a valley and a battle, and the two of you are just synchronized. And there's just something about us. We want to have a posh, unhindered lifestyle. You won't enjoy heaven because Jesus still has the scars. And the Bible says in Philippians 3:10, it says that I may know him in the power of the resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. And a lot of people are not ready for heaven because they will have no fellowship with Jesus who suffered. They want to have a fellowship with a Jesus who conquered. I'm going to have fellowship with a Jesus who suffered and endured and had joy. And so he allows us to experience that so that when we get to heaven, it's balanced. Now, I'll talk about that more next week. Let's get on to this thing. Let's start about you begin. John 3:3. Joshua, read John chapter 3 and verse 3, please. Now, probably most everybody in this room is born again. At least I hope you are. It'd be an absolute shame if you come to church, you come to a Bible-believing Baptist church, and to not be saved. If you're not saved, I would definitely fear missing out on what I'm about to teach tonight. Because you're going to miss everything. Being born again is the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody. I don't care if you're in prison. I don't care if you're in the hospital. I don't care if you don't have two pennies to put together. Getting saved is the greatest event of a person's life because your destiny's changed. You have a new heart. You have a new purpose. You have Jesus Christ. You've been accepted in the Beloved, and you're throwing all that away because you're looking for something here on this life, and it can't compete. And it begins and with being born again, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. Bless you. You'll never even be able to see it. So it starts with the new birth. How old probably was the guy? Was he just a young 20-year-old guy talking to Jesus, this Nicodemus? That hurt. I'm just a year and a half away from there, and he says, this old guy is 50. Oh, man. You know, Josh, we need to have a talk. Let me switch this off because I'm going to rebuke you. No. No, I think he's much older than that, but maybe he's in his 50s. Oh, that was painful. But Nicodemus was an old guy, and Jesus said, you've never lived yet. You've never lived yet, not until you've been born again, okay? And there really is no life before the new birth. I don't care how much you may have accomplished. I don't care how many relationships you've had or how much money you've made. There's no life until you've been born again. I can tell you that from experience. This is the entryway into the life of the believer, and you enter it by faith. A lot of people are hoping their church membership will make a difference. They're hoping their goodness, but it won't. Jesus Christ is the only one that can get you in, and all you got to do is ask. And from here on out, from that birth of a baby, there are going to be different seasons than there were before you got saved. And I'm not even going to talk about the seasons you had before you got saved. How many of you remember going through the cycles? You couldn't wait for Friday night. The cycles that you went through, I mean, you talk about struggles and depression. I mean, before Jesus Christ, you have to think about what you were so that you can appreciate what you are now. Amen? I'm glad to be free from those cycles. So you got new cycles. And it moves to the first stage of the Christian life, and that's growth. Go to Psalm 92 and verse 12, Brother Eric. Psalm 92 and verse 12. So here's a Christian. He's supposed to grow. He's going to grow like a tree. Now a tree starts off as an acorn or a seed of some sort and grows. Go to also 1 Peter 2:2, Brother Eric. 1 Peter 2:2. So what am I supposed to be hungry for as a new Christian? The milk of the word. The easy to digest stuff. Okay, that's why I always start people in Matthew and get them to run through. And just enjoy. Don't try to figure it all out because it's milk that you're looking for. You're not looking for dispensations and for eschatology and the second coming. Those may all be exciting things, but you better get milk. All right? I'll show you another one. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Go back a few pages, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. In verse 9, Brother Eric.
Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it's truly that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them, that have been occupied therein.
Now, what's grace? Okay, and it's just good. Grace is God's goodness to us. And your heart needs to be established with God is good. All right? And a newborn needs to just feed. And isn't that what they do? They feed and they eat and they eat and they eat and eat and eat. Because that's what part of growth. So you're going to go through a time of preparing, a time of plowing and planting, and growth in the Christian's life. We want to go from getting saved to we kind of expect, well, now I have to preach. Okay. Or we kind of want to move very rapidly away from our old life and get right into this thing where, all right, well, I want to be just like Pastor Craig. I want to be just like Brother Dan. I want to be involved in RU. And we have this dilemma where people come into church and get saved and they're right into RU. And then they come out soul winning. And they're there in choir. And I'm all for it. But understand this. They may be skipping a whole bunch of seasons and going trying to do when they're not ready. Are you listening? And that's how come they crash and burn and they get discouraged. Because they haven't grown. They haven't learned how to just read their Bible. Amen? I'm all for everybody getting involved in things. And that's what we're here for, is to get people involved. But don't think that as soon as you get saved, now I can join the choir. You can, but are you ready? You need to grow. You need to prepare for fruit. There has to be a time where there is what I call sowing and planting, is where you're feeding daily on your own. If you're expecting to just feed once a week, how long are you going to last? I mean, if you feed a cow just once a week, how long will that cow last? Boy, Ethel ain't producing much milk lately. Amen. You got to feed. You got to grow. It's got to be weekly in church and in discipleship. Constantly preparing for a time when you'll need to stand up as a Christian. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to left, find Colossians chapter 2. And let's see, Allison. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 6 and 7, please. All right, now I get saved by faith. I get saved by believing the Lord Jesus Christ died for a sinner like me and ask him to save me. But then I need to become rooted. All right? I got to allow my roots to go deep so that I'm established. So that I can withstand the storms that are coming in later seasons. And if you race too far ahead, if you go too fast in your Christian life, And I've seen too many people do it. And I'm all for. Most people are too lazy. So don't get the idea, well, oh, I need to slow down. I think most everybody is lazy. They're not doing enough. But a lot of people, they're racing ahead and they haven't grown. Okay? You haven't invested in you a disciplined, character-based, godly feeding time in the Word of God. And if you don't invest in these things, that you're going to, when the storms come, you're going to be blown away. Now, here's a great truth. You don't reap a harvest right away, right after you planted. And God's not expecting. Can you just write something in your mind? God is not expecting me to produce fruit instantly. You can't do that. You don't do that with plants. You don't do it with crops. And you don't do it with Christians. So sometimes when you feel like, well, I'm not producing, I'm not being what I should be, are you spending time with the Lord and just loving Him and walking with Him? If you emphasize and focus on that relationship, naturally you will produce fruit in the future. You got to get that thing, the most important thing. I have a friend who preaches, says two things every Christian is not doing. They need to be doing, reading their Bible and praising God. You know, the more I think of that, the more I believe that. Most people, they dabble in their Bible and they complain. But if you get into a relationship with God where you just can't help but just praise Him for everything, it's going to produce fruit down to the end. Just feed and grow. Don't get this idea of, all right, well, I read a chapter, now I'm ready to produce fruit, now I'm ready to face the trials, now I'm ready to take on the devil. No, you're not. Feed and allow yourself to grow and allow others to grow. I've had people ask me and says, what do you expect of me, Brother Ledbetter? And I go, to grow? I just want to see what God's going to do in your life. Oh, you know, are you sure that you don't have any expectations of me? And I say, yeah, I got great expectations of you, but let's just take it one step at a time. My expectations are for you to bear fruit, whatever God has designed for you, but it's not now. Let's take it one step at a time and let's see what God does with you. Just feed and grow. Now, here's a great revelation. Are you ready for this? At that stage, there are two exits. The first one, either you can be diligently planting in yourself as much as you can, like in James 5, 7 and 8. Let's go, Martin. James 5, 7 and 8. Okay, so that farmer has planted and weeded and watered and fertilized in preparation for fruit. And he's done. He didn't just expect fruit to come. He didn't just throw a few seeds out there. He has done that and he's expecting it. Now the Christian lives knowing there's a season coming where the Lord's coming back. And we better be doing everything we can. It's kind of like a squirrel. You ever seen a squirrel? I mean, Ireland has very few squirrels. But if you ever get to watch a squirrel, you know, like over the hedge or something and learn from it, squirrels collect these nuts and acorns and things. What are they doing? They're storing up for a season where there will be no food. And as a Christian, I'm telling you, you better get you enough of that Bible in you for the days when you're not going to have any time to be in the Bible. You better get some promises that only God could have given you. So that when you have nothing else to hold on to, you can hold on to that. So you need to invest in yourself. Go to Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 also, Brother Martin. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. Now look at verse 11, because it should have 11 in there as well. Wow. So you labor until you get to the next season. See, we kind of, it's kind of like you're riding your bike and you just get up to speed and then you coast. And that's a dangerous thing in Christianity, just coasting. And if you are diligently planning in you everything you can, it will allow you, help you to grow deep roots. The other exit is to be lazy. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, and Dina. So he says, oh, it's too cold. And he doesn't go out and do any planting. So when it comes time for the season of harvest, what does he got? Nothing. So labor now in your time of growth to feed. You have no fruit yet. You have no harvest. You have nothing to show for your Christian life. And yet, every time I see Graham, he's reading his Bible. Every time I see Graham, he's in the Bible Institute. Every time I see Graham, when I meet him, he's going out soul winning. What is he doing? He's investing. He's putting things into him for the next season. Okay? That's training. Your time of growth is training. It's not a time of fruit yet. It's preparation for fruit. And if you're not, one of these will get you into the next season. If you're lazy, guess what you stay as? A baby. Isn't that funny? You never move to the next cycle. You know, the most pathetic thing is to see a 40-year-old baby who won't get up out of bed and won't get a job and won't even iron his own shirt. Second season is called a season of waiting. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 6, Brother Tony. Hebrews 10 and verse 36, sorry. Okay. So we have need of patience, the ability to wait. Look at Psalm 27 and verse 14 now, Brother Tony. Psalm 27 and verse 14. All right. I was saved when I was 17 years old. I knew I was called to preach when I was 17 at a missions conference right after that. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to get trained. And my pastor sent me off to Bible college. And for sure, I believe in purgatory now. Because you go there and after 3 years, I wanted to quit. And I said, I'm finished. But the Lord said, no, one more year. Went fourth year. Then I went to New Jersey. And I truly believe there is a purgatory. It's in New Jersey. But in each stage, now remember, at 17, I got saved and I started growing, but I knew God had a call on my life. And I says, can't wait to get to Ireland. I'd never been to Ireland. I just knew it was outside of Texas. That's all I knew. All right? And I said, I'm going to Ireland. But you know what God said? Feed and grow. And I did. I went up to Bible college. And people say, what are you doing when you graduate? I said, don't know, but I know I'm going to get to Ireland. I had no idea, Nita, remember? We went up to New Jersey, and I said, maybe a year. 8 years later, we finally exited that season. We were free, and we came to Ireland. It took me 12 years from the time that God saved me and called me to preach until I set foot in Ireland to start a church. All that time I was growing, but all that time I was learning to wait. All right, you listening? Now, there are some guys that, boy, as soon as they get saved, they produce fruit. Don't you hate them? But the rest of us, it takes time. Brother, remember when I first met you? That was painful. I mean, I tried not to remember it. Anyway, and we were working out there. You were helping teach Sunday school out in Blarney. And then you got married. Remember that? And then he started, man, I believe God's calling me. And I kept saying, amen, let's just see where God goes. And think of how long it's been. You're growing, you're learning, you're doing, but you're waiting, aren't you? Is it wrong that he's in the season of waiting? Not at all. Was it wrong that it took so long from the time I got saved until I came to Ireland? No. There are seasons where you are growing, and there are seasons when you are waiting. You feel like you're ready, and God won't let you go. Amen? That is where many people get, and you get discouraged. You feel like you're in the air, you're just hanging there, and somebody says, just stay. You feel like, I'm running out of petrol here. No soldier just goes off to battle. They have to be seasoned. Why? Because they'll freak out when gunfire starts shooting around them. They have to be able to do their job. Same thing is true with a farmer. It takes time to grow a crop. Did you know you plant and then you wait? And then you water it and then you wait some more. You weed it and you wait some more. And then you wait some more. And then all of a sudden, it breaks through the ground and it starts to grow and it produces fruit. Seasons don't change overnight. It takes time. Like I said there a little while ago, some people produce fruit after a long while. And I don't sit there and go, well, I'm not as good as so-and-so. You know, the Apostle Paul is one of these, his fruit appeared almost immediately. When he got saved, he said, Lord, what will they have me to do? And Lord said, go into Damascus and I'll tell you what to do there. He went to Damascus. And then from there, he started preaching. He started telling people and he mightily convinced people that Jesus was Christ. So he starts to produce fruit. And if you had been around there as a Christian, you would have hated him. Because everything he did, he just started winning souls left, right, and center. He said, I'm saved 8 years and I can't win one soul a month, not just one a year. And you get discouraged. Don't be discouraged. All right? Different seasons. do you know a banana tree only takes about 15 months until it produces a banana? An apple tree takes 10 years. Oranges take 15 years before they can produce an orange. All right, so you all want to be bananas, go ahead.
We're all.
But some of us take a little longer to produce fruit. Are you with me? Okay? I don't sit there and go, well, I go soul winning every single week, and when I haven't won a soul yet. You're still in a season of waiting. You're still in a season where you're investing and you're doing and you're growing. Just when it happens, when somebody says, okay, you'll go, did he just say okay? And it's just the most wonderful thing that happens. Don't freak out when it doesn't happen right away. Don't fret about it. Waiting does not mean do nothing, all right? If I tell somebody, just wait, that doesn't mean don't do anything. It means be busy while you're waiting. Amen? Get involved doing something while you're waiting to be fruitful. Let's go to the third one. There comes a season of fruitfulness. Now, Psalm 1. Let's see. Brother Weston, Psalm 1 and verse 3. All right, do you see in the middle of that verse a real key phrase? He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He's not producing fruit all the time. There's a season where a Christian, that's when he produces fruit, and there is a season of fruit. And believe me, it is the most fun, most pleasant, and enjoyable season of the Christian's life. Where you just, you it's like you can do no wrong. You just seem to be going from success to success, and you're teaching Sunday school, or you're witnessing to your neighbors, and they start coming out to church, and you just invite somebody, and they say, oh yes, I want to get saved, and everything works, and you say, I wish I could stay here forever. Remember, no season lasts forever, but it's wonderful when you're in a season of fruitfulness. And just mark this down, it does come. If you're saved, you will bear fruit, okay, because that is God's will for you. He made you to bear fruit. He designed you. So it does come. This is a time in your life when everything starts paying off. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Do you mind? Isaiah 55 and verse 11. I like this verse, okay? Got to say it real loud, though. Right, now, that verse is a promise, Neve, that God's word was designed to bear fruit in my life, and God promises that it will work. You may feel like a failure, but the book doesn't fail. Do you like that verse? When God writes that book and you bring it in, it will return back to him. It will produce something back to him, what he designed. It will not return empty or void. So it's just wonderful when all of your trusting, all of your obedience, all of your praying, all of your time in the Bible, all your time soul winning starts to pay off. Didn't it work with Joseph? Young Joseph was constantly investing in others. He was constantly serving as a servant, then as a slave, then as a prisoner, and he's constantly doing. And I bet he probably got very tired of it because it took him over 20 years. But then one day it all paid off, didn't it? And he stood up there, and King Pharaoh said, "What do you think we should do?" And he said, "Well, I think we should do this. I've been through enough experience to know that we need to start taking and storing up all the good times, preparing for the 7 years of bad time." He learned that over the last 20 years, folks. He was a seasoned. Now, God was talking to him and explaining stuff to him, but he was prepared. Everything Joseph did from that moment was a success, wasn't it? And it's just something that happens in the Christian's life. All of his labors paid off. Give me a verse in Galatians that tells us that it pays off being a Christian. If you faint not, you shall reap if you faint not. Amen. Now, this is a season where you watch God bring the increase. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:6. Catherine. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Yes? That's good. That's short and sweet, isn't it? We're planting, we're watering, we're doing our best, but who brings the fruit? Who brings the increase in the life of the Christian, Catherine? I plant, I water, I do all my best, but who's the one who actually brings forth the fruit in my life? According to that verse, Jesus. All right? So, and he does. You're just going to have to just trust that fruitfulness does come. Sometimes it's 30-fold. What does Jesus say? Sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 100-fold. All right? You plant one orange seed, you might get 20 oranges or 30 oranges out of there. You plant one corn, plant one kernel of corn, how many kernels are on one ear? Somebody said about 300. I haven't counted them. I ate them, but I haven't counted them. There's about 300 kernels on one ear. How many ears are on a stalk? At least three. I've never seen a stalk where there are less than three ears on a corn. 900 kernels of corn from one. That's pretty good. Amen. So there are times when there's great, sometimes not so great success, but you produce fruit. Let me ask you, what are some of the fruits of a Christian's life? Think about it for a minute. What is a fruit of my life as a Christian? Who knows? Okay. And there's amen. Those are fruits, aren't they? Amen. There are nine of them. I'll keep you busy for a month. What else? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Soul winning, winning a soul is fruit. Amen. What other fruits are there in the Christian's life? All right, being able to serve and actually have an impact on somebody else. We're supposed to be a light, not just standing there going, on, off, on, off. Never ask a blonde if your blinker's working. Yes, no, yes, no, yes. I thought that was brilliant. Come on! What other fruits are there in the Christian's life? Yes, sir. Okay, good. That they may see your good works. That's you're a servant. What about a Christ-like spirit? That's the fruit of the Christian's life. How about praise? You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of our lips is praise. These are things you ought to be looking at your life going, do I have any of these fruits in my life? How about answers to prayer? That's a fruit. You just sit back and you go, Man, I didn't hardly even pray, and yet it came. That's a great thrill, amen? Victory over sinful habits, over past failures, those are all fruits in the Christian life. Now, there are going to be times where you have many seasons of fruitfulness and of success as a Christian. And you'll be able to look back and go, wow, God has been very good. He's brought forth fruit in my life. And you're going to be able to stand up and say, praise God. And you need that, because there are going to be other times where you have nothing to show. But at least you know God was there and he brought forth much fruit in your life. Because this is the good time, all right? Every Christian has a season of fruitfulness. And if you've been saved, I would say if you've been saved for 5 years, you should have had at least one season of fruitfulness. I would hope that within 3 years you have fruitfulness, okay? But we're really thick-headed and slow to respond. But anyway, unfortunately, we just don't stop and take note of it. You know, Ezekiel 34, it says, there shall be showers of blessings. So there are times when it's dry, and then there are showers of blessings, and fruit just grows. They come. Don't miss God's time where he just uses you, and we take it for granted. You ought to have just a praise list where you ought to start just keeping a list of how good God is to you and doing little things with you. Now, there are two paths, two exits out of where you get off of track. One of them keeps you on it, and the other one takes you off. Either start laboring to reap the results of your walk with Christ. Bottle it up. Joseph said, everybody work for and collect and gather up 20% of all of the fruit for the next 7 years, didn't he? You need to prepare for future times of drought. Or you can ignore something. Look at Proverbs 27. Let's see, Brother John. Proverbs chapter 27. In verses 23 and 24. You know what the people around Noah thought when he was building that ark? Oh, that nut. Okay. And he said, you better get in. And the animals started coming in, and everybody kept laughing. You know what they thought? There was not going to be any rain. He said, water is going to come out of the sky, and it's going to flood this earth, and we're the only ones that are going to ride out the storm. And they said, there's no water coming. And they thought the ark was always going to be there. And here's my comparison. You're going to think this church is always going to be here. You're going to think pastor is always going to be there. You're going to think Dan is always going to be there. You're going to think the good times are always going to be there. You're going to think that this is, if you're having a good season right now, you're going to think this is how it's always going to be. Let me tell you, it changes. The weather changes. Times change. Health changes. And you can ignore the need to be harvesting and holding on to the fruits in your life and having them ready for the next stage. Because if you ignore the need to bring in the sheaves, you're going to, you know what? If you let it storm and rain, if you have, at least in America, I don't know about here, but if you miss the window to bring in your crops, the weather will ruin your crops. The next season comes in, the snap of cold, the storms, the October storms, they just destroy the crops, and you miss the opportunity. You'll have to wait a whole nother season before you're any good for anybody. Some of you, listen to me, this is the real plain stuff. Some of you are looking at me, I know this is maybe too deep. But some of you, God has developed some fruit in your life, and you're sitting there and ignoring it. And you're thinking, well, I'm going to be this intelligent for the rest of my life. I'm just going to get better and better and better. And if you're not using it and not making it available to serve, and the storm comes in and it strips away everything, and you have to start all over before you have fruit again. That's the danger. There is a time of harvesting. We'll stop with this, but this is a great principle. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Despina.
Sorry, reason,
hold on. Everybody's getting there. Read it louder. Okay.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that he come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
What's a sheave? Is that the queen of Sheba? What's a sheave? Anybody know what a sheave is? Mona? Wheat and whatever you're harvesting. Yeah. You ever seen these big round things out in the field after they've been harvesting and they've made this big roll of the crop, whatever it is, barley and wheat? That is a sheave. Now, the sheaves, you can normally gather up and stand up. In the old time harvesting, you'd have them standing instead of rolled up. But the principle is here, if you sow, if you plant, your goal is to harvest. What's the purpose of harvest? So that you have a unique looking field with all these things sticking up in it? No, the purpose of harvesting it is for others. This is the brilliance of the Christian life. You were not saved to have a good day. You were saved to be a blessing, to make someone else have a good day. Amen? If you have any fruit, it's for picking. Ouch. Amen? Do you understand the concept here? If I am fruitful as a Christian, if I have any success in a Christian life, it's so that people can rob me of every one of my fruits. The purpose of having love, joy, peace, long-suffering is so that somebody is a recipient of my love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's not so that I can sit back and going, I'm enjoying a day of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. No, the purpose of fruit, if you've got a bunch of grapes there, that bunch of grapes is for eating, not for looking at. And that is where Christians fall. Because go to Galatians 3:9. Gina. Galatians 3:9. Well, that's not what I wanted. Maybe it's 3:19. No. I don't know. 29? 6:9, maybe. 6:9. Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. 6:9. That's it. 6:9. Well done. Dan. Galatians 6:9. Okay, the idea is you're reaping in due season, but it's for someone else. Go to Matthew 10 and Graham, Matthew chapter 10. When you have some growth in the Christian life, and all of a sudden you learn some great truths of the Bible, and you get the opportunity to teach in Sunday school, and you watch the kids just wow, and you say, wow, this is fun. They're learning, and you start producing fruit. There's just something where you sit back and you go, I am wore out. Teaching Sunday school wears you out, doesn't it? Going soul winning, as much, there's a thrill, there's an adrenaline, but you come back and you go, huh. Amen? Because you've been picked clean. Amen? Are you listening? You know what a chicken's good for? Pick and clean. That's all it's good for. It's for eating. All right, I'm losing some of you. I thought it was a great illustration. You don't want to have just all of this success and it not going anywhere. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 8. Graham. That's the important part. You see, this is the time when people take from you as you give and serve. Expect it. You know, you ask Pastor, anything that you need me to do? Guess what? I will find something for you to do. You go, wow, I didn't expect that. When you make yourself available and you start allowing people to pick from you, to take the fruit that God has put in your life, you're going to end up empty again, aren't you? Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are empty, for they shall be filled again. That's the whole purpose of the Christian life, is to be there for someone else, is to serve, is to spend time growing and feeding so that you can help and heal and minister to. And you walk away and you go, man, I am tired. Wow, that hurt. Well, that was tough. But that's the Christian life. You see, we all want to bear fruit, but we don't want to have it robbed of us. We want everybody to praise us and to give us more accolades when God just expects us to end up empty again. And we have to go get on our face before God and get more. Amen? Don't despise the fact that people take advantage of you. Do you understand what I just said? Don't despise the fact that people use you. God will honor you. Whatever you've given, Jesus says, I'll pay back. I will make it up to you. Whatever you've done unto the Lord says, He will make it up to you. Even if people take advantage of you. And you know, just never appreciate what you do for them. Don't despise it. Just always reinvest, constantly reinvest the fruit of your labors into others. You know, when you give, what does the Bible say? It's going to be given back to you. It'll come back to you. Amen. There's a time of harvesting. I want to stop there because there are four more fruits that are very important, but they need time where we talk about pruning, and especially the time of the night season, and we'll talk about those next week. Any questions? Any questions? Yes, sir. Aha. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:25. Go ahead there, Weston. All right. In almost all, there are sometimes when it talks about seasons and they actually do mean time, but a season can be very fleeting, or it may take months or years. It's not determined. You don't know. But you just know when you're in the season, it's not going to take forever. I just want to show you. The pleasures of sin, I always found, over pretty quick, aren't they? All right. So, but there are some seasons, like winter, that take forever to get through, okay? Once we hit October, normally it's we hit winter, don't we? It gets cold and wet, and it takes until March for us to get out of it. But seasons, short, long, no answer. Okay, another question. Yes, sir, Tony. But that's where, all right, I'm going to balance that out. That's where growth comes in, okay? And where you do grow and you learn. But don't get the idea that you have to be a rocket scientist to produce fruit and fully understand how it happens, all right? A lot of our great-grandparents never had any education, and yet they still had children. Okay? Because they do happen, just by accident almost. And the Christian produces fruit even without knowing about it. You don't have to try to produce fruit. You labor to plant and to invest and to grow, and then fruit comes. So, I think I know what you're saying, where you're trying, you got to know what kind of fruit to produce, or how do you do all of this. Let me just tell you, leave the fruit, the bringing of an increase to God. Does that make sense? You just do the planting, and the plowing, and the watering, and then God brings the increase, God brings the fruit. So I don't say, this is the fruit for you to produce, this is the fruit you have to produce. No, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit. In what area? Needing what? Oh, are you talking about your fruit for somebody else? Ah, now that's desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Everybody has to start with the book. If you're going to get somebody to grow, they've got to be in the Bible. They've got to be in a passionate, vibrant, active relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our job. I'm here to scare people, scare the hell out of people, and scare heaven into them. I'm here to motivate people to read their Bible and to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's all I can do. But as people spend time in the Bible, as people come to church and they hear the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, God uses to save, all right? So when you're trying to get people to grow, you want them to grow, but get them into the book. Just constantly, constantly remind them. What does the scripture say? Quote that verse, and as they keep doing it, it starts to produce fruit in their life. My word, God says, we read in Isaiah 55, shall not return to me void. It will accomplish what I designed it to do. Okay? So get the book into them. So I think I now understand what you mean. Yes. Any other question? Because fruitfulness is the most, this is what we want. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, sir. That's a hard question to answer. The answer is as simple as I can get it. Duty is not wrong. Okay? The fact that you may not have any fruit, the fact you may not have any abilities, does not determine whether you should or should not be serving. Okay? The need determines whether you should be serving, usually. But sometimes you need the wisdom of the pastor to know, all right, well, they're not ready, okay? But everybody should have a desire, a duty, to be involved. Because if we're all waiting for a feeling or, well, I feel motivated, most people aren't going to serve. Does that make sense? All right. Now, a wise pastor, a wise husband in his family, a wise boss, does not make people do what they're not able to do. But it's nice when everybody says, whatever you ask me to do, I'll try. Amen. So in a church, everybody should feel a duty, even though they don't feel like they can. Because that's how we serve to one another. That's how we minister to one another. But a pastor should be there being very careful, saying, you know what? You'd be a whole lot better in the kitchen. Or, and you're a blessing on the piano. And trying to guide that thing instead of, can you imagine if Bill was playing the piano? Okay? We never know. You know, but if Bill said, I'll try, I'd say, okay, can you show me what you can try before we try to put you out there on the front? You know what I'm saying? Don't make duty evil. A wife needs to do things out of duty, whether she feels like it or not, just like a husband needs to do things out of duty, whether he likes to do it or not, because it's because of the bigger deal. All right? We're too motivated only by our feelings, and we need to be motivated by it's right to do, okay? And it's right to make myself available to serve, and let the pastor or somebody say, "Boy, I see this is your spiritual gift. This is what you're able to do. Let's put you in this or in that place of service." That makes sense, okay? Because some people, and really, if you don't feel like you have any fruit or any ability, sometimes we don't need ability. We just need somebody to serve. Amen. You know. Teaching Sunday school, helping out teaching Sunday school, all we need is somebody that'll sit next to a kid and hold him in a headlock for 20 minutes. That's all we need. Come on. You don't have to teach if you're a helper, amen? We just need people to sit there and hold the kids still while they're listening to Sunday school, gently. All right, any other questions? Any other questions? Because it is your duty to say, Lord, here am I. What will that have me to do? Yes, Mona. Yes, ma'am.
The way people think, and the only way to know that any of that is in God's word.
Right.
And that kind of just stops us where continuously in the word we do become just like living with someone or spending time with you, you get to know them better. You can't know Jesus better if you don't spend time.
Exactly.
So the more you get to know him, the more, just like they say, that you become who you hang out with. So
amen.
Like Jesus, you know, that Jesus always is striving to get there, and we'll never be just like him, but
That's right. Yep. That's right. Amen. That's right. Kind of complicated. We're in a day where we don't want to be forced to do anything, okay? But, you know, our parents, and I grew up in a day where we were told, you do it, and that's it. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong. So I know where you're coming from, but I want to say some things we got to do and be very careful about it, but we need to have a layer of duty in Christianity, or else there are going to be some Sundays. If I didn't come here because it was my duty, you wouldn't see me some Sundays. I mean, today I took a nap. I did not want to get up this afternoon. My wife came to bed. She laid next to me, and she said, oh, you took a nice nap. I said, I'm still taking a nap. And if I could have ignored my duty, I would still be in that bed right now. My point is just very clear that I want to balance out. I know what you're saying, but I want to balance out. We're designed to serve. Let's just find what God has designed us to serve, where and how. Because also there's something very important, as you were saying, about the Lord in our life. In Acts, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And guess what everybody else was doing? Guess what everybody else was doing? They weren't relying on the apostles to go all over the world. The apostles were staying in Jerusalem. And it says, and the disciples went everywhere preaching Jesus Christ. Everybody was involved. They didn't just leave it to the apostles, the ones who were well-trained and well-qualified. Everybody got involved. And that's how come the first century world was turned upside down, because Christians didn't leave it to the well-educated and the well-capable. Everybody just dived in and made a mess of it for God. And it blessed. Amen? Any other questions? Because I understand what you're saying. But I just, boy, I want to motivate us that we go, you know, there's some things. I really believe everybody in our church ought to be here every Sunday night as much as they ought to be here Sunday morning. I believe everybody ought to be here tomorrow night when we have the church opens door. Whether you feel like, well, little Johnny's not going to enjoy it. He wants to go running around doing Halloween. You should go. No, it is right for us to be together as a church every time we have an activity. Amen. Yes, sir.
Is there some seasons that we as the Christian have control over, and is there some seasons where we don't have control over?
I'm not sure.
I have to make that decision I want to grow. So, I would consider the season of growth to be, you have to decide to do that. You have to grow. You have to want to grow. But then, when it comes to producing fruit, I'm unhappy to go on.
That's right.
So that should become, by my growing, that should become natural.
Yes.
And then, you know, when it comes to seasons, when you're going down, you might not have to grow that either. And I was just thinking that, there is some things that we have to grow over, that we have to instigate.
Yeah, but neither one of those, instigating something, I may be reacting to a season I'm in, or trying to get into a season, but I cannot control how long it lasts. I don't see how any of the seasons I can sort of make last longer, because Solomon said this, time and chance happeneth to us all. Things just all of a sudden, out of the blue. You can't say, well, I've done all this stuff, therefore it's guaranteed I'm going to really have a long time of fruitfulness. No. You have no idea. The increase, every season belongs to God. God designed the seasons, and I just want to keep moving through them as the Lord is changing me. Okay? It's a good question, though, because we always want to keep things as they are. Amen? I hate change. Amen? I just don't want to have a change. I like it to go. Start Tuesday morning, I'm there, and I'm expecting these things is what we're going to do. I hate change, man. All right, let's stand. Oh, yes, ma'am. Sorry. Didn't see. Go ahead.
That heart says what you reap, you sow. So, Psalms says, when you reap in tears, you shall reap in joy. What does that actually mean?
It means a couple of things, okay? I'll give you one, all right? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Most people who are farmers, they go out because it's the time to go planting. They do that as their duty. It's their time to plant, okay? And they know that it's going to produce a harvest. But the encouragement there in Psalm 126 is that when you are broken and absolutely devastated and ruined, and yet you still go sowing, and you still serve God, and you still do what you don't want to do, you will reap with joy. You will not end like you began. That's the main teaching of that verse, okay? All right, let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.